The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey everybody, it's that weird time in between Christmas and New Year's, that nether zone where we really don't know what the hell is going on. So, we thought we'd lean into Vancouver Whitecaps, and we grabbed two great interviews, Ryan Gauld and Sebastian Bearholzer. Here you go. Happy and Merry Christmas. Not yet.
It's Footy Prime. This Friday, big game coming up, fellas. Massive game. One of the biggest games in recent memory, actually. Vancouver Whitecaps. Are they favourites? I don't think they are favourites. They should be. It's LAFC. Massive match coming up. But we're going to get to that. But beforehand, I do want to talk about what happened earlier this week. And we've got a pretty good guest to talk about both things. Ryan Gauld, right? He's a bit of a legend now in Vancouver football circles. What he's doing with his career with the Whitecaps. He joins us now. Ryan, we'll get to the Caps. Mainly the Caps, I promise. But Scotland. Was there ever any doubt?
I think from quite a few people, yeah. But the the results kind of went our way in the first round of games this break. Not getting a win in getting a point in Greece, but Belarus holding Denmark, doing us a big favour, and then it was an incredible performance against Denmark to put us in. So, I'm sure the whole country was going a bit mental.
Did you watch the game, Ryan?
In and out. We were training, so I missed the majority of the first half, and then I caught the good part. I caught the last 15 minutes. the bit we all wanted to see. Managed to catch that, so yeah, it was brilliant.
I mean, it's all very well qualifying the way you guys did, but to do it with those goals and the quality of those goals, Scott McTominay, if he wasn't a legend already, I mean, that was maybe the best bicycle I think I've ever seen. It was perfect.
Oh, it was ridiculous. And when you see there's a photo of, when he makes a contact with the ball and just how high up his leg gets is ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure like everyone in Scotland will remember that goal for years and years. But yeah, then like you said, it was Tierney's finish as well and McLean from halfway. So it was a good game. It's one that will definitely be remembered.
Yeah, it was pretty special. So you got to get healthy now. Obviously, the World Cup's a while away still. You're getting healthy. Number one, how are you feeling right now? It's been a massive break between the last match and this match coming up this weekend. Do you remember how to play football?
I think so. I'm feeling good. It's been a packed schedule. Obviously, I missed the majority of it, but for all the team, it's been a packed schedule the whole season. So just to have this downtime to kind of refresh before such a big game, hopefully it comes in handy, and we'll have the international boys back today as well. So there's no excuses for fatigue or anything. Everyone will be fresh mentally and physically. So everyone's just looking forward to it.
You know, injuries we know are part and parcel of our profession, and dealing with that can be difficult. How did you deal with that long spell of just, not getting healthy, time, everybody asking you questions about when you're going to come back? Like, how are you mentally yourself, and how did you deal with that over the months?
Yeah, obviously it was hard for me because that's the longest, and I think 14 years now I've played professional, and that's the longest I've been out by a long way. So that was obviously not fun, not great to deal with, but at the same time, like, I said to myself, if you get down in the dumps or whatever, like, it's not helping anyone. It's not, that's not beneficial. So just tried to keep in good spirits and just accept that, you know, when the knee feels better, it feels better and I'll be good to go. And I've said it before, it was helpful that the boys were doing so well during that time, because you know what it's like if you're not winning games, if you're playing poorly, like this could become like a dark place. But everyone was in great spirits all the time. Everyone was buzzing around the changing room, and I was just happy to be around it, I guess.
It's a blast when you're winning, right, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's a lot easier, yeah, right?
Yeah, much.
I was going to ask, you know, all of a sudden, LAFC, geez, I'm not great sometimes. LAFC is on Saturday, and they've become a playoff nemesis. All of a sudden, Thomas Mueller, Ryan Gold, Brian White are all back. Are you like, how's that going to feel? And this is probably something you've been looking forward to all year.
Yeah, there's quite a few things thrown in there.
Yeah, sorry about that. That was about 19 questions.
No, I mean, like, there's a few things you said there that is to look forward to. Obviously, getting to be like me personally being fit for the playoffs was when we weren't sure if it was going to happen. I'm obviously delighted with that. And it's such a big game against a team we've struggled against in the playoffs in the past. And me and Brian were talking about it the other day. The last time me and him played together was the game I got injured. So
right.
We're both looking forward to getting minutes with each other again. And we're just looking to obviously change what happened the last couple of years in the playoffs. And I think since then both sides have really changed. We've changed a lot our game under Jesper, and LAFC have kind of moved things about since Sun arrived. So it's definitely gonna be an exciting game for the neutral, and you know, hopefully we make it exciting for the number of fans that are going to be there for us.
Sold out.
53,000, right? I think it is what they
said.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Against Miami.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So I mean, listen, you're out for a long time, but you're watching the games. Was there a perspective on the team that perhaps you've now garnered watching them for a few months from the sidelines that perhaps you didn't fully appreciate when you're that close to the team playing each week?
Since coming back, what I've noticed is even in training, you know, the intensity that we train at, the speed of the play, those are the main things that stick out to me as like, oh, that's a wake up. Like I need to get going again, because of how well the boys have been doing. And that does come down to the training and the effort everyone's putting in. And I think that shows when we go into games that we're a lot of games we've played that an intensity that other teams have struggled to match.
Does that intensity put you in a position where you feel confident that you could actually go 90 minutes? Or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, fitness-wise, I feel good. I've got no expectations. I've said since coming back, look, the boys have been incredible all year, and the boys up top have been setting up goals, scoring goals, creating chances. And I've said since coming back, you know, I've just got to obviously work as hard as I can to get my fitness back up and mm-hmm. to get back to the level I want to be at, and then make sure I'm ready to do whatever I'm asked to do, whether it's, like you said, playing 90 or whether it's come on and just help see out a result for 10 minutes. I've just got to make sure that I'm ready for that. And yeah, physically I feel good. So, you know, I'll just make sure that I'm ready for whatever comes this weekend.
Just after Thomas arrived, we had your gaffer on the show. And we were asking him, like, so where does Ryan fit in here? You know, you got Thomas now. You got this such a strong attack midfield. Where does Ryan fit in? And he goes, "Don't worry about it, boys. Ryan's going to fit in just fine." Was there a time though during that, you know, period when you weren't playing and you're seeing Thomas coming in and you're seeing the way the team's playing as a whole and how well they're playing? Think, man, like where do I fit here? I can understand a footballer, a professional athlete, getting in his own head sometimes and not seeing clearly.
I can see where I fit in, but a part of me was also like, I'm not getting in the way the boys have been playing. If put yourself in the boys' shoes that have been playing every minute and playing really well, if you're all of a sudden out of the team, like you'd be saying like, what the hell, what's going on? So, like I said, I've just got to make sure that I'm ready physically, which I feel like I am. And then, you know, when I'm asked to do whatever it is, I'll be ready. So will the other boys. Everyone's, I think that's what we've got good here is a great team chemistry, and everyone's ready to fight for each other. Everyone's ready to do the dirty work and do what's asked. So I think that's what puts us in a really good position just now.
Do you feel 100% confident with the injury now and that you can go out there with confidence and not think about it?
Yeah. I think obviously my knee feels really good, but the first couple of games back, you know, it's in the back of your head a wee bit. You don't want to do anything stupid just to like make anything come back. But with the more games I've played, I've felt better and better. And with this, the last, 2-3 weeks, I've had to try and build up fitness. So it's not like I'm going onto the pitch with any reservations or anything.
What's that look like, building up fitness, Ryan? Like, what are you doing specifically to get there?
So a lot of it was just on the pitch, like shuttle runs and the long boring jogging stuff, and then some work on the bike when I come back in as well. So the guys upstairs put together a good plan for me to get me in a good position, and just had to make sure I didn't cheat myself out of any minutes on the bike, as boring as it gets.
and just so you know, I want you to do something. I don't want you to get hurt, but I want you to try something stupid out there. I want a worldly bicycle kick, so then we can go about doing all the Vancouver Whitecap stuff for you.
I'm not getting my leg as high as my
don't try that.
I'm challenging you, is my point. Some guy on the internet's challenging you.
Don't listen to Dan. No. I know you're not. Don't listen to Dan. He's renowned for giving terrible advice to people.
True.
Tell us about, so Thomas comes in and he seems to have really adapted to life in Vancouver so well. He gets it, right? He gets what it takes. Yeah, yeah. You yourself, anyone I speak to in Vancouver in the sporting scene, say how you've become part of the furniture in Vancouver sporting circles and how you love it there. And listen, there was a time there not so many months ago that we were trying to figure out how you would qualify for becoming Canadian. It didn't work out, but you know, it's great that you got capped by Scotland. But I mean, this German superstar comes in. He's just adapted to life there. It doesn't always happen for DPs in this league, right? They're not always so open. How has he changed the mentality in that room? Or has he just fit in as one of the guys?
Yeah, in the changing room, he's fitted in as one of the guys. He's just another one of the boys. And he's an outgoing person. So, you know, whether he'd done what he's done or came from nowhere, the same person that he is would get on with everyone, if that makes sense. Like the way he just goes about his day, he has a laugh with everyone. He's just, yeah, a great guy around the building. But I think obviously in games we've seen, you know, what he gives us and what he can bring is a different level. But what he's given us around the training pitch, with like helping with little adjustments, like going around people individually, talking how we can do things better and how we can make things work to the next level, has been brilliant. And when he was first coming in, I was thinking, oh, he's going to be brilliant, like for the young boys to see what a top professional looks like. But I mean, it's been great even for me as one of the older guys in the team to see how he goes about his work. So, yeah, I think since day one, he's been great. He's fitted in, and yeah, hopefully he can be a piece that helps, you know, move us on over the line.
You mentioned they're the young players, and we have we had Ali Ahmed on this show a while back. He's a friend of the show now. We're big fans of Ali. He's fantastic. His game has grown so much.
For people listening, there was a wry grin as soon as from Ryan as soon as Sharms mentioned Ali.
Well, Ali, he's so likable, right? But he's got that element of tenacity in his game that I don't think people appreciate quite enough, and we saw it with Canada obviously last week. But
yeah, I think he's added that side, especially since going into the Canada team. I think you see there's an extra little like grit between his teeth to hold down his position, and I think he's been brilliant for us this year. And actually, he had that injury to his ankle in the summer, and especially since coming back from that, I think he's took his game to a whole different level. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most important players for us and what he brings, it's hard for anyone to replicate. You know what he can give, and yeah, even out in training, he's you know, trying to double up against them. He's quite annoying. Trying to pin down. So he's been great, and it's great to see him as well getting the recognition with Canada and really kind of holding down that left side.
Yeah, like I said, we're huge fans here. All right, almost out of time here, Ryan, but I know Dan has a little segment he does with new faces to the podcast, a little rapid fire segment. Well, I'm going to take it away.
Don't think too much, Ryan. It's all in fun. But welcome, Ryan Gauld, and thanks for playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime. Do you have a nickname?
Goldie.
You have to DJ for a family party. What do you play to get the people dancing? Family party.
Oasis.
Oh.
No. Deacon Blue.
Okay. Deacon Blue.
Whoa. Nice.
Scottish legends. There you go.
Yes. Sharms just went to Oasis in Toronto last time they were here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, if you get a chance, they're as good as ever. Better, maybe. Amazing. Yeah.
That's class.
You're in a Marvel movie playing a villain, and you have to gain 80 pounds. What's your go-to junk food to hit your contracted weight?
Beef burgers.
Just a hamburger?
Just like stack them. Cheese.
No bread. Just snack.
If you weren't playing football, what sport would you be playing professionally?
Golf, really, but I would need a lot of practice, like a lot of practice.
Love that.
Yeah. Craig played, 19 years in the Prem, 50 caps for, or more than that. I don't know how many caps he had for Canada, but 57. We golf as much as we can in the summer, and we just love it.
Yeah.
You need to, and we're now trying to get Sharms playing. Sharms playing.
I'm shite.
Yeah. Shite. What was your favorite club growing up and why?
Dundee United, because I played for them, and they done a thing where each player would get a ticket to watch the home, like each player in the youth teams would get a ticket to watch the games on the weekend. So that's, if I was going to go and watch a game more often than not, it was Dundee United.
You get to meet your sports hero. Who is it?
My sports hero? Right now I'd love to meet Tom Brady.
He's a winner.
Cool guy, yeah. Winner. Yeah.
Supermodel.
Not anymore.
Ted 2. He was in Ted 2, the movie with the teddy bear. Yeah, you gotta watch that.
Yeah. He's at Brummie now, isn't he?
Who's he with?
Brummie. He's at Birmingham. He is
Yes. Yeah. You have a week off. Where are you vacationing?
Hawaii.
Oh, I want to go to Hawaii.
Mm.
Food you miss most from Scotland?
Oh, haggis.
Come on.
Really?
Yeah. I'd even put a haggis patty on top of the burgers, you said.
Oh, now we're talking. For the aromatics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Potato chips or crisps? What do you call them?
Crisps.
Nice. Ryan Gall, thanks for playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime.
And you know what? We've done almost 1,000 episodes of this podcast, almost 1,000, and never, ever has Deacon Blue been mentioned. So
that's true.
That's amazing. You know, yeah. I think Stevie Caldwell's a Deacon Blue fan, actually.
Yeah.
We're going to have to look up Deacon Blue, Ryan, now.
Like, family party, that's what we get.
Yeah.
Is it a sing-along? Is it one of those sing-alongs that you, like, you play and everyone dances and sings to it?
I'd imagine it would be.
Have you tried playing Deacon Blue in the room before a game?
No, I've not. But a few of the boys were over for my wedding at the end of last year. And obviously we had Loch Lomond at the end. And so that gets played in the gym now and again.
Okay. All right. Nice. Oh, nice. Nice. Ryan, listen, mate, thanks so much. Really enjoyed this. This is great. We're so happy to see you back on the pitch, finally. Yeah. And we look forward to what should be a brilliant weekend for Vancouver and the Whitecaps, and what a year it's been. So congratulations on that, and hope to chat to you real soon, maybe as an MLS Cup champion. Not going to put you on the spot right now, but you never know.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. Day. Brilliant.
Cheers.
That is Ryan Gould of the Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll soon be joined by the midfield maestro, Sebastian Berhalter from Vancouver, who, we've been singing his praises for months this season. It's been a breakout campaign for him, hasn't it, really, guys? He's been such a huge part of that team.
Is your mic working right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy's mic never fucking works.
Why does it sound like it's not working?
That's all right.
It is.
Sorry, I like it.
There's Sebastian Berhalter. Hey, welcome to the show, mate.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Great. Yeah. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Doing good. Thank you.
We're just talking about this cold dip you do, match day minus one. And mindfulness, and why?
You know, it started almost like a year and a half ago, and it was something that I was like, what am I doing? Like, when am I uncomfortable? And I was just like thinking about it. I was like, I don't feel like almost in a day sometimes I'm not even uncomfortable. You know, I'm just going through things, and it's fine. And then I like saw some of David Goggins, like, to push yourself. And then one day I was like, all right, I'm just going to – like, why can't I just go in the ocean? You know, he was doing it. I was like, why can't I do it? So then I did it. And then I did it a couple of times, like, all right, this kind of sucks. And then my buddy, Giuseppe Bovolina, started doing it with me. And then it just became like our thing that every game day minus one, you know, he walked my place, we walked the water, you know, do our thing, come back. So it just like started with just trying to be a little bit more comfortable.
Is there anything that you guys do as a team, as the Whitecaps? Because you guys have proven over the course of this season that you guys are mentality monsters. I mean, you look at that match last week, like, against you guys. I mean, you had to slay the dragon. That was LAFC, third time's the charm. You were able to do it, but within 120 minutes in a penalty shootout, like, that was almost a microcosm of the season that you've lived. So is there something that you guys do as a team that serves to almost train you to exist in that discomfort?
I mean, if going out counts, I guess. Okay. But honestly, I think it's just time. I think it's time, like, I think we've had so many guys that have been here for almost 4 years, you know? So I think that just is us being together for so long and knowing each other so well that, you know, no one is going to give up in this moment. And, you know, we're just going to fight and give it all we got.
Is it the ocean you dip in, or is it a lake? What is
it's
it?
It's like, it's connected to, what is that called? You know what it's called?
Oh,
it's like,
is it False Creek?
Yeah, False Creek. Yeah, I don't even know what it is. Yeah,
I lived by there for a couple of years when the national team was based out in Vancouver, so our apartments weren't too far away from there.
Yeah. Isn't it polluted?
Super. I get that every time. Super polluted. yeah, I haven't got sick yet, and, you know, all the water, yeah.
Be honest, though, you've tried to recruit other members to do it, right? And they've said, fuck that.
Pretty cool. Much. Pretty much along those. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I would have been that guy. I would have been like, no.
Yeah.
You guys feel your boots.
Yeah.
In the bathtub.
You're right.
So you guys are heading down to San Diego, I believe, on Friday. And we were talking just before you came on, and, you know, the different surfaces that you play on. And, you know, now going down to play on a hybrid Bermuda pitch compared to an artificial, different grasses that you play on. Do you find that there's a challenge there with the team and yourself personally when you're playing on different surfaces?
Not really. I think it's just something that you like. It's just something you can't control. You know, so there's not something that, you know, it's the same as for the other team, and you can't control it. So there's, for me, is there's not something to, like, you know, get worked up about, or, you know, let it get into anything I do. It's just, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sebastian, you're one of my favorite players in the league. I love watching. Love watching the way that you play, your relationship with Kuvas, even VT when he was there. I'm looking at your career, and you're at Columbus, then you were on loan to Austin. And I'm a firm believer that every footballer needs to find a home where you're comfortable and you start to really enjoy your football. What is it about Vancouver, the city and the club, where all of a sudden now you're just flourishing and playing a fantastic brand of football?
Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, them believing in me, you know, and me feeling that. Again, there was no reason for them to trade for me. You know, I barely even played. Really almost nothing to show as a professional soccer player yet. You know, just prove myself. We did win the MLS Cup the first year, but didn't, you know, have an impact really. And yeah, so I think it started with that belief, and then, you know, just having the almost just them welcoming, you know, comforting me and just nurturing it, you know, and being like, okay, you're not going to play right away, you know, just keep working. And for me, it was just every day was just, okay, I'm just going to try to keep getting better. And, you know, take one day and stack it on top of the next. So it just created an environment that, you know, let me grow and let me improve and yeah, just to keep getting better and better.
You cost, I think, $50,000 in allocation. I think that was the trade. I mean, it's one of the great steals in recent MLS history. It seems like you spoke about this on YouTube, on The Breakaway, about how there was a time where you didn't think you were good enough. You looked around and you thought, I'm the worst player on the pitch right now. When was that moment then it clicked? Or did you always have the confidence? It was just finding the right situation.
Yeah, with that 50K, we joke that it's a couple of ball bags and a pump. That's usually what I say. it was almost like I knew how bad I was. And I never, like, I'm such a confident guy and confident player that I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'm good. Like, I'm still good, you know? And then it just hit me. I was like, maybe this isn't good enough. You know, maybe I'm actually turning every single ball over training. And I just had to be real with myself. You know, my pops had a huge impact on that, and being real with me and saying, look, like, you're like, you need to get a lot better, you know? And he was right. And, you know, having those hard talks with me. And then it was after this game in San Jose, I told him, called him, said, hey, I might, you know, like, might have to quit here, you know. I'm just like, dude, this isn't even fun, you know. I'm not having fun. Like, I thought I loved this, like, I don't think I love it, you know. And he's like, you know, he's just supported me, honestly, like, whatever. He's like, just keep working, like, whatever you want to do, just, you know, no problem, keep working hard, and you know, see where it ends you. But if this is what you want and you just want to stop playing, no problem, you know. And I was like, okay. So, you know, from then it was just like finding processes and finding routines and kind of doing the most, you know, like writing down my whole day of every minute of what I'm going to do, and reading books and talking to people and just gathering resources and, you know, creating like a team around me almost. And now that support system is the reason why I'm here today, because I have, you know, can reach out to so many people. And honestly, I feel like a lot of sports players go through similar things where they have a moment where they're not that good. And then all of a sudden now it's like, okay, like, how do I get better? And, you know, how do they adapt? So I don't think it's super uncommon. I think mine was a little bit more extreme because I wasn't even a player yet. You know, I wasn't even like, you know, I didn't have any pressure on me. It was just like, I wasn't even, you know, good enough yet. So yeah, right. I think that that's, that moment has been the biggest moment in my career so far to let me to where I am today.
With your dad being such a high profile guy in the United States and, you know, playing all over the place, and you were born in London because he was at Crystal Palace at the time, did that add a little bit of pressure on you as well, having your dad being so high profile?
I think it only helped, because it kind of gave me that chip on my shoulder. You know, I was never good enough. I was always just a coach's son, you know. And I think without that little motivation, that little, like, you know, trying to prove people wrong, it's still the way I play today. You know, I still have that fire and still have that, like, I just want to keep you know, proving people wrong. And sometimes I have no one even wrong to prove, you know, and then there's no one, like, sometimes I just make it up, you know, and I'm just like, all right, like, I just got to keep going and show this people and show. And it's just how I am. And, you know, I remember a previous coach talking to me, he's like, hey, like, you don't need to keep proving anything to us, you know, you're good. And I was like, once I'm good, you know, I know I'm in a tough spot, you know? So that's why I'm like, no, like I want to keep getting better, and I want to keep, you know, proving to myself and to everyone that, you know, I'm the player that I think I am.
That chip on your shoulder mentality, is that set up perfectly for Vancouver Whitecaps and what you guys are trying to do this year, and how you're seen, perhaps, like the perception of the Whitecaps in MLS, that you're out to kind of prove people wrong?
I think so, but I also think it's deserved. We've never won anything. We've never advanced past the conference, you know, semifinals. So it's like people shouldn't expect for us to be where we're at, you know? And I think when I came into the club with Tristan Blackman, he just came from LAFC and had a lot of success there. And I think we were the only two guys who came into the transfer window, and we were just looking at each other like, whoa, like, this is kind of a reality check, you know? Like, we were like, all right, like, we need to, you know, things are going to have to change here, and we're going to have to be a big, big part of it. And it's going to take time. And I think we both knew that. And, you know, other guys coming in and Jesper coming in has really helped that. But I think that's something that is, it's been big, just to, you know, let it take its time. And then eventually, you know, it's going to come, and be patient and just keep doing the right things.
How is it playing under Jesper? He just seems to be getting the best out of you guys, and you're playing a terrific brand of football at the moment.
He's great. I think he's a realist. He's always, you know, he's never going to sugarcoat anything. He's never going to...
He's Danish. He doesn't know any other way, right?
What it is.
Stop it, Doug.
yeah. No, it's exactly what it is. He doesn't know any other way, and... But he cares. You know, he cares about the person before the player, and I think that's important, and that's what guys have connected to, and I think, yeah, everyone has just loved him coming in and just being who he is, honestly.
He spoke about your football IQ, and you mentioned there how you're a student of the game. It really kind of turned around your career. But there is that side to you, but then there's that passion as well. And seeing that on Saturday, lifting not just your teammates, but the crowd as well. Even us watching, it's like, come on, get in there, son. Because you're just like, you're just so alive with the match itself. Does that come naturally to you as well?
Yeah, no, it definitely comes naturally. I think, honestly, growing up around my dad, and I felt like I was an ultra of like four teams, you know, with every team he was with. And just like, you know, I'm in with the fans cheering, and I'm feeling everything the players are feeling. And I think that had a big impact on how I am today. And, you know, I've been a fan almost my whole life, and I know what it's like to be, you know, in the stands. So, yeah, I think that was something where it's just how I am. It's just natural. And, yeah, it just felt like, you know, what we needed and what was going to get us over the finish line.
There's no better example of that, like letting like the fan, like the noise, the energy in BC Place, and maybe the adulation too, like when you're at the corner flag and you're especially Willie's corner. So I'm sure you're well aware of the lore there, but I wanted to ask you, like, your dead balls, obviously, whether it's for the US men's national team or the Whitecaps, you're just brilliant on these set pieces, but you have a drink and you take a pause. It might be a little bit performative, but I love it. And then you spray the ball. So is that part of the routine? Is that just something you do instinctively, or is that deliberate?
She stole my question.
Huh?
That was my question.
No, that's my fucking question, Jimmy. Get out of here.
Nice you caught on that. Yeah, so that's something I started doing, like, I want to say like 4 months ago. And the drink is just whatever. I'm just tired. But the ball, I might be making this up, but I basically spray it because first it's consistent. So anytime I take a corner, if the ball's always wet, it's always wet. You know, sometimes feels drier than another field or more wet, and you just don't know how it's going to come off your foot. I feel like when the ball's dry, there's more traction. So if I hit it a certain way, the ball can just fly on me, you know, and I try to prevent that. So when I put water on it, I can really hit the ball hard and then have it spinning and not move as much, not have it, you know, fly over or you know, for me, I know that if I hit it in a certain spot and I can really whip it, it's just going to spin more. You know, it's not going to sail across the whole 18. So, yeah, that's the thought with that. I don't know if it actually works, but it's just now my routine. So,
well, it maybe helped Lloris to spill that rebound off of Mueller's header.
That's exactly.
I was going to say, if a goalkeeper, I wouldn't be happy about that. I've been using a dry ball, and all of a sudden, there's like this could come in wet. Like, it's just different. Certainly, play with your head a little bit for sure.
Yeah, no, and even for the guys attacking, I think it's just more of like a flick, you know. I don't think it, I think it's the same thing. Like when it's dry, it kind of like will stick to your head more, and it has to be more precise, you know. I think if you're just
right,
you can just kind of guide it on.
It's going to be all these kids around Vancouver now, right? Spraying the ball. And the, yeah. the coach is saying, what are you doing? Saying, well, Sebastian does it. So, so, I mean, post-match on Saturday on the Apple interview, great interview, but you were almost speechless. You were just, you couldn't really believe what had happened. Does it all kind of make sense now, having watched tape, you know? Are you more comfortable with just the theater of that whole night?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense winning 9-11. You know, that makes it's a lot of sense.
It was crazy, right? It was just one of those moments, I suppose. And to get through it the way you did. What was it like post-match in that room? Because, you know, I watched Thomas Muller post, you know, he's pumping his fist, but it, almost to say, we've done nothing yet. We've got to the next phase. Was that what it's like? You know, 100%. Yeah, there's a celebration, but you're all looking forward now to that next match.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Ryan Gold had a kid the day before, so I think we were celebrating that, and everyone, you know, started.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Name, yeah.
So
that
was,
But no, it wasn't, you know, we still have two more games, you know, and that's a conference semifinal. Again, it was dramatic and a lot of emotion involved in the game, especially against LAFC, but we know that we still have two more games, so it's not, it's not something that we're going crazy about, like you guys said.
Tell me, I was going to say, tell us what it's like for you as a midfielder alongside Kubis, and you got Thomas dropping into that hole. Just what it must be surreal for you at times as well, just thinking, look, I'm playing with Thomas Muller here on this pitch, one of the best players in world football. How has that been for you?
I think it's the best thing that he is not surreal, you know, because he doesn't make it surreal. He makes it like he's one of the guys and it's just Thomas, you know, and you don't think about all the trophies and whatever 30, however many trophies he's won in World Cup and Champions League. You know, he's your teammate, you know, and he makes it like that. And he doesn't want to be more than your teammate, you know, and he just wants to be winning games and helping. And you know, if we have to have a go at him or someone has to say something, it's like he understands it. You know, he's not like freaking out about it. It's not like, oh, I'm bigger than you. Like he's totally just he wants to be one of the guys. And I think that's the best part about him.
Yeah, yeah, Thomas, pull your finger out of your ass.
No, listen, it's been a great story, though. It really has. We're thoroughly enjoying it. You know, it's the biggest story in Canadian sports right now. It really is. So, listen, great stuff so far. We can't wait till Saturday against San Diego. It's going to be something pretty special. So thanks so much for your time, Sebastian, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having
me. Thanks a lot. Best of luck.
All the best.
Thanks, Sebastian. Awesome.
Thank you.
That is Sebastian Berhalter of the Vancouver Whitecaps. Another amenable athlete.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter. If we ever make one.